Where did they come from?
Well, hello again. Let's get started with the 25-minute update. My name's Don Wyatt, and I'm the general manager here at AM 1220 KPJC. And, of course, you can hear us streaming live around the world at thejctown.com and on the Geo Radio Network, geomedianetwork.com, and on K-band satellite. So I think today we'll talk about questions Christians ask. And it really could be questions that anyone asks. So our first question is, KPJC, your call letters, what does it stand for? Well, it's taken a bit of a evolution, if I can use that word. And KPJC originally was for KP, which was what was available from the FCC. And JC, we thought, well, that'd be a good for Jesus Christ. And even though we kind of used Yeshua HaMashiach at the time, a few years ago, we thought, well, you know, it'll be good for everybody. But later on, it's kind of evolved into the words Judeo-Christian, because there are parts from both faiths, and they are two individual faiths, that really make up who we are now. And what we are here at KPJC is a station that wants to give you the best biblical truth that we can possibly find. Why else would we exist? So we call it Hebraic Roots, or Torah Observant Believers, or Biblical Believers, Bible Believers, Seekers, and it all goes in the caption of Judeo-Christian. So I would say KPJC stands for KP, Kingdom People, Judeo-Christian. And that's a better description even, is that we want to become Biblical Kingdom People. So why aren't you Judeo and why aren't you Christian? It's pretty simple. Both faiths have elements of truth, great elements of truth, really. The Judeo part has the Torah. They keep the five books of Moses. They keep the commandments of God, or Yahweh is what I like to use for his name rather than his title. I think that shows more respect than calling him a generic something, God, which is actually the name of a pagan god. And for the same reason, I don't call him Lord, because at least not without using his name, because Lord by itself just means Baal, Baal, like the Canaanite pagan god that they got in trouble for worshiping a lot, and it wasn't Yahweh. Okay, let's go back to Judea. Judea, or the Jews, Judah, the tribes that were known as the Southern Kingdom in the Bible, were given the instructions that we came to know as the law, or the 613 commandments that we were to live by as a nation of Israel. And yet we were told don't add to or take away from the commandments, from the things that were written and given to Moses. And they did. For thousands of years now, the Jewish rabbis have taken the very commandments that were given to the people as a national constitution, and they've changed those words and made them fences, meaning that you take a base commandment and that it means more than what it says, and so they'll build more things around it. For example, the verse that says that you shouldn't boil a kid, a goat, in its mother's milk. Well, they take that to mean that when you're eating meat and a dairy product, you should not do that at the same time. Well, that's not what it says. For kindness reasons, don't boil a goat kid in its mother's milk. It's just not a nice thing to do for the mother's milk, I guess. But it's an attitude. It's an attitude of kindness. And so that's been made into many, many different things have been added into Judaism that are not in the Bible. And that's why in the Christian church, we would always say, oh, I'm not under the law. Well, that's true. We are not under the law of the rabbis. But no place in Scripture has it ever said you are not under the law, or rather under the laws or guidelines or rules or instructions of Yahweh. Those things were given to us as an eternal, perpetual memorial, as a covenant with us. It was a marriage contract. And when we say we don't want the things that he wrote down in our marriage contract, then we are really rejecting our intimate relationship with our Father. So whatever the rabbis have added to Scripture, we have the option of keeping and following and practicing or ignoring based on the context and the intent of the original biblical understanding of the text. As we begin to know our Father better, we will know his ways and his will. As we study his commandments, they will be written in our hearts and there really won't be a need for rabbinic interpretation. So that's the Judeo side. On the Christian side, of course, is that we know the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua. Again, I use his given name. Now, Yeshua came to do what we could not do. You all know that. He came to give us life in a covenant that meant certain death. We could not keep and cannot keep all the laws. Plus, those laws didn't account for intentional sin, which all of us do all the time, including myself. And so I needed a savior. I needed Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation. I needed him, and I need him now, just like you need him now. But heaven forbid that I would ever again break my Savior's commandments. I never want to disappoint him or let him down. And so the Christian side of things, we've got that down pretty good. We've got the gospel of salvation down. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That Word, of course, is Yeshua himself, incarnate, God incarnate, the Word. And yet we say that we don't need the Word. We don't need the words that he gave when he wrote with his own finger on the rocks of the Ten Commandments, and that he spoke with Moses. Remember, the Ten Commandments, or Ten Words, are synonymous in meaning. Yes, as Christian believers, we do understand the gospel of salvation, but I think there's an even greater gospel in the Bible that we have virtually ignored. And what I call that is the gospel of the kingdom. You see, Israel is a kingdom of people. Israel is a kingdom of tribes. And I've said this before as well. Yeshua never any place said that he came to start a church. No place in the Bible does he say that he came to start another religion. But he said he came to seek the lost sheep of Israel. So that's what he did. He came and made a provision for those who had been scattered into the nations. How could that possibly be that anyone could identify all the people who were his, who he had thrown into the nation, cast out into outer darkness? How could they ever be found again? They were mixed with all the other nations, with all the pagans. There's one way, by his own spirit. And it's a masterful, genius thing. By his spirit, he plants and waters and draws the seed that's in you towards himself. Just like we can't save ourselves, we can't be drawn to him. He draws us back to him because we're part of his people. And it doesn't stop with Christianity. It has to go further to where he fulfills all of the promises to Abraham. Abraham was told that his nation would be as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky and the dust of the earth, if we went on up to look at what Jacob was promised. And it was the same promise, a renewed covenant, a renewed promise made over and over. And that's exactly what Yeshua did when he came and gave his life. He made it possible for us to keep the renewed, the original covenant and the renewed covenants. And that's actually why the New Testament in the Hebrew is called the Renewed Covenant. He made it possible for us to be regathered as a people scattered into the nations, but we can come back to his house and back to his covenants and back to his instructions. Well, this is an awfully long explanation about the call letters KPJC, but we appreciate and honor both Judaism and Christianity. But we say that both are incomplete and neither keeps the word as it was intended, as it was first given, and how it needs to be kept today for these end times. So that's the story on AM 1220 KPJC. Let's go to another question. Before I go any further, let me remind you how you can get a hold of me if you have a question. The number at the station is 503-316-1220, or you can email me, don@thejctown.com. If you'd like to get a hold of a copy of this broadcast, please feel free to email me, and I'll send that to you. There's no cost to it. Of course, we'd always appreciate any help that you can give us, but that's really up to Yahweh and you. And if you need a hard copy of it, like on a CD, then let me know that as well, and I'll be happy to try to do what I can. So back to questions. KCCS, now KPJC, has always been a strict evangelical station. Why are you changing now? Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with the times and what's on many people's hearts. I'm always amazed at how many folks say that their lives are being changed by what's being taught here with the Hebraic roots. And the word Hebraic root doesn't really describe what's going on. This is really a return to the Bible. All we want to do here is make sure that the Bible is taken literally. And again, I have to go back to our forefathers, to Christianity and to Judaism. And when we look at Judaism again. Judaism is not a biblical religion. It's not a biblical faith, even though it has some basis on the Bible. Even the Jews will tell you that they are primarily a rabbinic faith. Now, the rabbis will take a scripture and interpret it for you. And rightfully so, as Bible believers and truth seekers, we say, hold on just a minute, that's not good enough. That's adding to and taking away from scripture. And so we want to go back to those scriptures, let Yahweh himself, by his spirit, interpret those verses as given to us in original languages. We don't need to have the Greek version tell us what it means. We don't need to have erroneous English words given to us from a number of different versions. We need to know what Yahweh was trying to communicate in original texts, in a cultural setting, in words that were understood by a common people at that time. Do you really think that Yahweh required a bunch of theologians to tell us how to live and that he needed them to communicate to us? Not possible. Everything in those days was done in agricultural terms, in simple terms that simple people would understand. And so this is really a revival of truth. It's really a restoration of the things that were from the beginning. So if you hear Hebraic roots, that's what it means, is let's go back to the original intents, to the original words in Hebrew, and let's see what their meanings were, because Yahweh thinks on, well, the rabbis say at least 70 different levels. And so if we learn one or two or three of them, we've really come quite a way. Now, on the Christian side, again, we respect our forefathers. But in the Christian faith, we have to realize that we were brought up primarily, many of us, as evangelical Protestants. And we have to look at the word Protestant. What does that mean? Well, when Martin Luther nailed his proclamation, his emancipation from the Catholic Church up on the door of the church, what was he doing? He was protesting. He didn't break off from the Catholic Church as much as he protested some of the things of the Catholic Church, not letting scripture be given to the people. A great thing, we agree. Not having the Pope be father over him. A great thing, we agree. But what Martin Luther failed to do was to go back to the original faith of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't restart from the beginning and study the faith of Yeshua. He didn't study the faith of the apostles or even of Moses. He regurgitated pagan Catholicism. He became a mouthpiece for mixing the holy and the profane. And now millions and billions of protesting Catholics follow a Bible that have added to and taken away from what Yahweh intended. Well, I better settle down a little bit. I get all zealous and worked up, and just let's get back to talking about Catholicism and how we fit in. Again, don't want to say anything that is disparaging about the people who belong to the Catholic faith. Some of the best prayer warriors I know, some of the most humble, kind people I know practice the Catholic faith. But you have to go back to the origins of everything that you see. Everything that you know, everything that you have heard, and find out, is it the truth based on what the origins of Scripture say? Well, here at KPJC, that's what we're helping you do. We are bringing you teachers that will go back to original scriptures, to original languages, and help us understand what was meant then. But don't believe them. Don't believe me. Go back and see it for yourself. All right, Catholic Church. I know you've heard this before after the original 12 apostles died. There was a time of turmoil, and you know that the faith of Nazarene Judaism, which is really what the original apostles were. That's what Paul was. He was a Nazarene Judite, a follower of the way. They met in homes, but they still attended Jewish synagogues. There was a movement within the government, Greco-Roman government, that no longer should this faith be practiced the way that had been prescribed in the Bible. Why was that? It was because there was a civil war going on between those who worshiped the sun, Mithra, the sun god, also known as Baal, the Lord, remember, and those who worshiped the wife of the sun god, who was Ishtar, because what was known as Christianity had taken off so much, and there had been so many believers that started following Judaism, this sect of Judaism, the government decided that there needed to be one religion that it could control. Boy, that sounds really familiar today, doesn't it? And that's one of the things I always tell people. Look for cycles. The Bible is a cyclical book. We've been taught to think like Romans, like Greeks, in a straight, logical manner, in a linear fashion, unlike Middle Eastern Hebraic thought. the way we are to think is much different than that. That's what Scripture teaches us when it says to have a renewed mind. That's one of the things, one of the levels that we're taught is to think in cycles, to look for cycles, to look for everything in the Bible as it repeats itself. All right, so the Catholic Church is what was born in 326, even a little before, and it became part of the Roman Empire. That's why it's called the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Worldwide Church. In order to make this religion work, they had to take elements from sun god worship and from Judaism, which was really Christianity. Remember, the word Christianity didn't come from believers naming themselves. It came as a slang word, as, oh, you Christians. What they were is Nazarene Israelites. So this institution developed wherein the phallic symbol, phallics meaning male genital part, became part of the worship service. We see it today as a steeple. I hope every time you see a steeple or even the Washington Monument that sits in the Capitol Plaza in Washington, D.C., I hope you look and you see what a huge part these obelisks were in the worship in the Christian church or the Catholic church. Remember, they are the original Christians, the Catholics. You can also see sexual symbols molded through many of the other ordinances, many of the holidays. The wreath at Christmas time, use your imagination. The Christmas tree described in Jeremiah 10. Even back then, we were told not to take a tree from the forest, cut it down, decorate it with gold, la la la, as the heathens do. Why? Because this was worship of a fertility god. So if you have something that began unholy, that began as a rebellion against Yahweh, can you then sanctify it? Well, we're told in the book of Exodus 23 not to even mention the name of foreign gods, that we are not to worship as they worship, we're not to use the implements of their worship, and all such things should be destroyed. You see, this is what the Christian church has done. It has allowed the things that crept into and were added to and melded together into the Catholic Church. It's allowed those things to stay in the Christian evangelical church. Those things were never intended to be part of the worship of Yahweh. Those things can't be part of the worship of Yahweh today. If you want to be a true Bible believer, if you want to be one who is in lockstep with your Father's will for your life, then it's time to start rejecting. And that's a tough, tough stance for anybody, because your kids are part of a youth group. You're part of the adult fellowship. You have friends that go to church, and it's a tough one. There's nobody I know that hasn't had to forsake everything that they've known and everything that they have learned and everything that they thought in order to find more truth. You have some truth, no doubt. But remember, we are Protestants. We are only protesting the things that we didn't like about the Catholic Church. In fact, the Catholic Church still considers us as Protestants or protesters to be part of the Catholic organization. Even this year, if you'll remember, that's why the Pope was able to say, well, the Anglicans, who are Protestants, can worship in Catholic churches as part of the Catholic organization, that the Anglican priests can be married and still be and an official part of the Catholic Church. Why? It's because they still consider those who protested to be an exact part of them, because we follow their doctrines. We say, as Christians, we are not part of the Catholics. We say, oh no, we follow Scripture verbatim and word by word, and it's not true. Right now, we look like everyone else, we act like everyone else, we sound like everyone else, we even probably smell like everyone else who is still in the world, and we do this as Christian believers. But in the Hebrew world, we are not to be of this world, are we? We are to be Hebrews in the world, not of the world. Can anyone tell a difference in your life? Do you eat differently? Do you act differently? Do you study differently? Do you keep different holidays? Are you persecuted for your faith? And are you different on the inside? Are you being renewed to think in an entire different way? Do you still use the same pagan mixed worship places? Do you still copy the same pagan styles of worship, the same pagan means of worship? Do you still use the same implements that you did before? Then something's wrong with our faith. All right, I guess I better settle down a little bit. I'm not angry, but I am so urgent for us. I know you've heard me say it before. There are not 9 commandments and 1 suggestion. If we follow Scripture as it's given to us, we need to be keeping a 7th-day Sabbath. Why is the 7th-day Sabbath important? Another question that has come in. Because the 7th-day Sabbath, when Yahweh rested, He worked for 6 days, as we are to do, and on the 7th day, He rested and commanded us to do the same as memorial to Him. He gave us the Sabbath as a special day for us, as a sign of the covenant that He made with us, as His people, not as Christians, not as Jews, but as Hebrews, as the nation of Israel. So as I think back again, what are the differences between Protestants and Catholics? And realize that they're pretty minimal. I mean, we don't have any saint worship, which is, of course, part of what was left over from pagan worship. You can't worship a person. You can only worship Yahweh. That's in Scripture. So we did really good there as Christians. And then I think about, well, what are some of the other things that they have taken out of order? And I think of the priest swinging the censer with the smoke coming out and so on. That was taken directly from Scripture that Aaron and his sons did in the tabernacle and in the temple later, but it's done out of order. There's no temple. See, we take pieces of what we want and we make it into our own faith, just as we've taken pieces of God, pieces of Yahweh, made Him into our own faith, just like we've taken pieces of Yeshua and made Him into our own Yeshua. And in many Protestant denominations, I would say that we've even made a false Jesus, a Jesus that can't accept the impurity of homosexuality, who says it's okay to have abortion and kill innocent unborn children, who says, well, you can worship any God you want. You can get to me however you want to. We know that Yeshua is the only way to be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. He is the only way that when that reconciliation occurs, we become part of the nation that He called to be His holy priests. Priests are the ones who are intended to be light to the world. And we are going to have to be light as tribulation continues to come forward towards us. We need to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Do you remember the statement in the movie that was made to Tom Cruise, A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth. I'm afraid that's where we are now, is that most of us can't handle the truth, that what we have learned is incorrect and needs to be adjusted. We need to adjust our course. It's going to be hard because of tradition. It's going to be hard because of familiarity. It's going to be hard because of experience. But He's calling people out of where you are, just like He did with Abraham. Do you think you're any different? He called Abraham out of what he knew, out of his culture, and He's calling some people into another culture. That could be you. That is probably you. If you're listening to this station, He's tugging at your heart. He's saying, come home, my people. Come back to me, my people. Come find me, my people. I'm drawing you towards myself. So that's the method to our madness here at AM 1220 KPJC. All right, the last question for today, I think. Do you really live in a trailer in the parking lot? Well, I think the question is really about obedience, and that's really what the question is really about for all of us, is how obedient will we be? How willing are we to be if we're asked to be different? If Scripture tells us to wear little white and blue strings on our garment, if men are told to wear a beard or a head covering, see, we have to be willing to lay everything down and just say, yes, what does your word say? My tradition isn't worth anything. My family has learned this and that. What do I have to do to be squarely in your will? Doesn't every family have rules? Yahweh's family has rules too. And for us to say grace covers everything and we no longer need to keep the rules of our family, of our father's family, does that really make sense to you? Does it make sense to you that we get to pick and choose which rules we follow? So the question about obedience, yes, let's be as obedient as we possibly can be. And that may be giving up some comforts. And these things don't last forever. Whatever He's asking us to walk through, whatever discomfort that's given us, isn't given to us because He likes us to be uncomfortable, isn't given to us because He wants to punish us. It's because He is cutting out, taking out, brushing out, scooping out the leaven and the sin, the things that are in our lives, the things that are in our character, the things that have become a part of us that are not a part of Him. That's all this journey is all about. We just came through the week-long Feast of Unleavened Bread, and afterwards, I found 3 different kinds of leaven, which represents sin in our lives. I didn't even know it was there. I found Cheerios, pretzels, and donuts. Oops. We have to let him get the leaven out no matter what it takes. Because there's going to come a time where we have the rewards, and this may not be the time. And so do we live in a smaller place than we may be accustomed to, or do we wear our clothes for a longer time, or do we take less trips and not do some of the usual enjoyments of life during this desert time, during this time where he's teaching us to depend on him? Obedience is just about learning to depend on him. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep the covenant ourselves. We really can't live our lives ourselves unless we follow his guidelines and his rules. And I used to do these things out of obligation. Well, okay, fine. Scripture says it, I'll do it. All right, that's what the Bible says. Fine. I'll keep those holidays. I don't get it. You don't want me to do Christmas or Easter or even say those words anymore. Fine. You want me not to keep a Sunday, church day, but you want me to have a seventh day with a Saturday. That's when everybody does everything. Friday night, come on. We worked all week. His ways are different than our ways. As our minds become renewed and we start to understand why he put these things into place, I can only give you my own testimony. I love the Sabbath. I love the seventh day off. I love the gathering of the believers to celebrate the feasts and the festivals. And there are so many happy times where we get together and we see the prophetic significance of all of these times where we become a people and he becomes our God. I love my life as simple as it is and as filled with stress as it is. There's peace there that really passes understanding because I know that I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do today. This has been the 25-minute message. Thanks for tuning in. You can always call here at the station, 503-316-1220, as well as email me with your questions and comments, don@thejctown.com. And of course, thejctown.com is where you can hear all of the Hebraic biblical teaching around the world. Let your friends and family know there's something going on and you want them to be a part of it. Just tell them to listen in every day for 6 to 8 weeks. Guaranteed you their mind will start to be renewed. This is one of my favorite songs. It's called Who Are These People? And it talks about, well, you can listen to the end of it yourself. Shalom, everybody.
They'll drink the water of life. These are the people from the great tree. They are saints that make